that God has created all things, and if we are convinced that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, then we know personally and intimately that God loves us. And we can say that very confidently and with great assurance. God loves me, and I know that because he has given his one and only Son in order that I may not perish, but have the gift of eternal life. But welcome into the presence of our God, just as a call to worship. I want to just direct your thoughts to the words in Psalm 19. We come out of the majesty of God's creation all around us. In Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the handiwork of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech, and night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Just invite you to stand, and let's bow in a moment of prayer before our awesome God. O Lord, our God, you are our Father. Your majesty is displayed all around us in creation. We lift our hearts, our voices in praise to you. And we praise you, O Christ, and we lift our songs of praise to your glory as we rejoice in your salvation, the fact that you gave your life in order that we may not perish. And we thank you, O Holy Spirit, as you breathe upon us now, that we may open our hearts to the presence of our God, that we may ascribe to him righteousness and holiness and glory and honor and praise. To you, O God, triune Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to you be all glory and honor, praise and authority. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, our help is in the name of the Lord who hath made heaven and earth. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits that are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. And all God's people said, amen. Would you take just a moment to greet one another in the presence of our awesome God?
Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. He will give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Jehovah Jireh cares. Jesus, hope of the nations, Jesus, comfort of all who mourn. You are the source of heaven's hope on earth. Jesus, light in the darkness, Jesus, truth in each circumstance. You are
of W107.1 or 96.1. You may have heard this on the radio. It is a little new to our congregation. I apologize. It is not in your bulletins this week. Instead of a two-page song, it's more like a seven-page song. It doesn't really lend itself to putting it in the bulletin. So if you've heard it before, if you know it, please sing loudly so the people around you, if they don't know it, they can sing with you. But hopefully you will get it. If not, just listen and enjoy, because the words are really appropriate as well.
Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I'm trying to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight, no matter what I face, you're by my side. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk.
It's always a joy and always a blessing just to be present here among you people in this congregation. We dearly love this church and we dearly love you people. But now the church is ready to embark on a new journey. This morning, Pastor Mark and his wife Kara are here. I think I got his last name right, Jasinski, and I think he comes from the Netherlands as an immigrant, really. They both grew up in Wisconsin, and they're natives of Wisconsin, and I would imagine they're dear followers of the Green Bay Packers, I'm guessing, the Cheeseheads, or is that what you call yourselves? And just in talking with Pastor Mark, I'm just excited for the congregation. And would you be willing just to come up here and just stand here so everyone can see who you are? Pastor Mark and Kara and their children, Ella and Noel and Evangeline and Jackson is in the nursery, I'm guessing. Okay, very good. Anyway, Pastor Mark, I just asked a few questions about who they are and their ambitions and their passions in life. And Pastor Mark said that his wife, Kara, is rather crafty. And I was kind of intrigued by that. But evidently, she does a lot of needlework and sewing and that sort of thing, I understand. And you even have an online store of some sort. Ah, very good. Anyway, I know that you're going to love to get to know them. And I just encourage you, support and lift them up in prayer each and every day. And just for this morning, I would just like to lead the congregation in a prayer for each one of them. For Pastor Mark, Kara, Noel, Ella? That's Ella. What grade are you in, Ella? Fifth grade. And Noel, what grade are you in, Noel?
Second
grade. And Evangeline, what grade are you in, Evangeline? In kindergarten. Very good. Let's just have a moment of prayer. Father, we thank you for Pastor Mark and Kara and their family. We know that it is by your Holy Spirit that you call us into ministry, each and every one. Whether we work on the road, in the fields, in the factory, in the home, wherever we are called to serve you, you are there by your Holy Spirit in the person of Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that you pour out your blessings upon Master Mark and his family, that together with this congregation, they may embark on the journey of ministry. Minister to one another and minister to this community. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Thank you. It is always a moment when we realize that we are in the prayer, in the presence of an awesome God, that we begin to look at ourselves, and we see in a very profound awareness our unloveliness and the way in which we constantly displease a holy God by our unholy living. And just before we go any further, would you just take a moment to present yourself to a holy God and lift your heart and your soul, your mind, your strength, and all that you are, lift yourselves before Him in a moment of prayer. Let's bow before Him. Gracious Father, You are the living God who was and is to come. And You call us to be Your presence. You call us to be the body of Christ in a broken world. But all too often we lose sight of the kingdom mission, the mission that You set before us. And we confess that often the world sees us not as the one body in Christ, but as a body so splintered and broken and fractured into pieces. And too often, Father, we go our separate ways. And too often we forget that we need each other to be one body. Gracious Lord, You have given us Your law. You have given us Your love to be our guide. But so often we turn our backs on what we see as constraints, as how You restrain us by Your restrictions. And so often we are afraid that we do not live up to Your expectations. And so, Father, help us to see Your grace, the grace that You pour out upon a broken world. Help us to see Your grace with new eyes. Help us to hear Your word with a renewed heart of faith. And renew us with Your grace and mercy. And strengthen us and revive us and enable us to be and to do all that You call us to be and do as we proclaim the message of Your amazing grace. In Jesus we pray, amen. In Ephesians chapter 3, as Paul reflects upon who God is and all the things that God has done, this is what he says in Ephesians 3. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name, and I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His inner Spirit, through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you being rooted and grounded and established in love may prove together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled full with all the fullness of God. In congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is God Himself who calls us then to holy service. When He commands us to love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. And then in this broken world, He sets before us this amazing mission, to love your neighbor as yourself. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, believe the gospel and live in God's holy love. This morning, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Acts, to Acts chapter 4. Would you turn to your Bibles, to the book of Acts, chapter 4. As we were singing that song, when you don't move the mountains, when you don't part the waters, when you don't answer the prayers, when it seems as if the sky is closed, the heavens are barred, and it just seems as if there's really no way that I can see any evidence of Your presence in my life. I just thought that was a good song that directs our thoughts now to the words in Acts chapter 4, beginning with verse 23. Acts chapter 4, beginning with verse 23. This is a time that takes place in the early church. as Christ himself calls them to mission in a broken world, but they are beginning to experience the first waves of persecution. And this is one of those stories, one of those moments in their life. Acts 4, verse 23. Peter and John were in prison, and on their release, they went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together. They gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and with the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. But now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. I invite you to keep your Bibles open and pray together with me that God by his Holy Spirit will lead us with the indwelling of his word. A prayer in a time of uncertainty. Every day, as you listen to the news of the world, to the breaking news, to all the news that is important, to all the news that runs in front of you, or as you look sometimes even at the events that take place in your own life, you wonder, and perhaps even today some of you are wondering, is prayer really possible? And you know as well as I do that there are those who say that no, prayer really is quite unnecessary because God has already foreordained and predetermined everything that's going to happen in our life, everything that's going to happen in the world, so prayer really is unnecessary. And there are others who say, well, prayer is really quite useless because it just seems with all the violence and with all the turmoil and with all the chaos that happens in the world that God is simply unable to do anything about it at all. So the real question in a believer's life is really the question, is prayer really possible? Or is prayer rather useless and unnecessary? Well, one of the foundations of the Christian faith is that God is sovereign in all his ways, that everything that happens in the world is under the control of God's sovereign hands. In fact, we want to even say that if God is not sovereign in all his ways, then God really is not sovereign at all. And again, I don't know where you are in your walk with God. But I would imagine that it is an assurance in your faith, no matter what happens in your life, that you're able to begin your prayer with the awareness, with a profound awareness that God is sovereign in all his ways. But just to encourage you, just to remind you of how profoundly important that is, would you take a look at the prayer again of the disciples in Acts 4, verse 24. Oh, sovereign Lord, you made the heavens, you made the earth, you made the sea, and everything in them. And I just want to remind you that Scripture echoes with this word, with this conviction, with this underlying conviction, that all of creation proclaims the sovereign rule of God, that God has created all things, and by the word of His mouth, all things have come into existence. That God is alive, that God is active by His very being and by His very character, that God is active in the world day after day after day with His unfailing grace. How Scripture not only echoes with the conviction that God is in control, but that that is the underlying theme that speaks to a world that is often convinced that we simply live in an ungoverned chaos, in a world that simply surrounds us with dangerously mad violence, with a mad violence that often wants to keep us in the grip of fear. But God's sovereign power over all creation is the basis that gives the disciples courage at a time in their life and a time in their situation where they are in a desperate crisis facing the first waves of persecution. They begin their prayer with the confession that God in His sovereign power over all creation. They know the God that has spoken the commands of creation. And I just want to bring you again to Genesis chapter 1, where God, as the Lord of creation, said, "Let there be light," and there was light. "Let there be dry land," and there was dry land. "Let there be plants and vegetation of all kind," and there was plants that filled the earth. "Let there be fish in the sea. Let there be birds in the air. Let there be animals that roam the earth." And it was so. "Let there be man made in our own image," and it was so. And the Scripture says, "And it was very good." The disciples know that this is a God to whom they pray. And that is the God that fills them with the courage that they need in a desperate time in their life. But it is also the sovereignty of God over all creation. It's the very thing that God uses to call His people to faith. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Job chapter 38. To Job chapter 38. I don't know, in a moment in your life where everything, when something may have filled you with a sense of desperation or a sense of urgency, I just find it incredibly encouraging to go to these last chapters of the book of Job and just listen to the questions that God asked Job, who has given up on God, who wonders where God is and what God is doing. "God, do you not see? Do you not know what is happening in my life?" And God really never answers the questions of Job. But in chapter 38, God begins addressing the concerns of Job by saying, "Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge?" And then in verse 4, "Where were you, Job? Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations?" Verse 8, "Job, are you able to shut the sea behind the doors? Behind the doors when it burst forth from the womb, when I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness?" Chapter 38, verse 34, "Job, can you raise your voice to the clouds and cover yourself with the flood of waters? Job, do you send lightning on its way? Do they report to you, 'Here we are'?" In verse 37, "Job, can you tip over the water jars of heaven when the dust becomes hard and the clouds of the earth stick together?" Job, in verse 39, "Do you hunt the prey for the lioness?" In chapter 39, verse 19, "Job, do you give the horse its strength? Job, where were you?" In verse 26, "Does the hawk take flight by your wisdom? Job, does the eagle soar at your command?" Question after question after question, never addressing the questions that Job has asked, the questions that lift Job's thoughts and heart and mind to God's creation. Have you ever wondered? Have you ever imagined in the days that you take your family on vacation here and there, to a national park, just to revel in the majesty of God's creation? why you find that so relaxing and so refreshing and so renewing. As God surrounds you with a majesty of creation, can you understand why it is the disciples begin their prayer with the prayer, "O sovereign Lord, you made the heavens, you made the earth, you made the sea and everything that is in them. O sovereign Lord, it is you. It is you in all your sovereign providence. It is you in all your sovereign mercy. It is you in all your sovereign goodness. It is you, O God, to whom we pray." And that gives us courage. It's also the call by which God calls his disciples to faith. Very similarly, in Isaiah chapter 40, in a time when God's people were terribly discouraged, again, God doesn't address their discouragement. God does not address their fear, their anxiety. But God simply says to them, "Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who do you think made all of these?" How he calls them out one by one and gives them each a name. And by his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Can I just encourage you in a moment in your life? Maybe even singing the song that we sang just a moment ago. "Lord, when you don't move the mountains, when you don't part the waters, when it seems as if you're not answering my prayers, Lord, just give me the courage to trust you. Just give me the courage, the faith to trust you, to know that you are sovereign in all your ways." But then secondly, in verse 26, notice how the disciples continue their prayer in Acts chapter 4, verse 26. "Lord, you are the one, and you are the one who asks, why do the nations rage against the Lord and against his anointed one?" I just want to have you see how that really is a reference to the fact that God is not only the Lord of all creation, but he's also the Lord of all of history. That every event in history, everything that has ever happened in the generation after generation, is a witness to the faithfulness of God. That not a single event in all of history has ever been outside of God's sovereign providence. You think through all the events of history, all the wars, all the famines, all the floods, all the disasters, everything that has ever happened in all of history, not one event lies outside of God's sovereign providence and control. And the reason why that is so necessary to understand is for this reason. If just one event that has ever happened on the face of the earth was a surprise to God or caught God unprepared, then your conviction, your assurance of your salvation, of your history, of your story, of your life, of your relationship to God, all of that is in jeopardy. How do I really know that my salvation has been secured? Just as a reminder to that, in Exodus chapter 15, it's a story of how God's people sing a song of rejoicing after God had destroyed Pharaoh and his army. And in chapter 15, the people of God, the people of Israel, are rejoicing, and they even quote some of the boasting they belong that they might have heard coming from the Egyptian army. How they sing the song of how they record the song of the Egyptian army. "I will pursue, I will overtake, I will gorge, I will destroy them by my own hand." But then they sing the song, as they sing the song, "The horse and rider you threw into the sea." Lord, the army of Egypt was boasting in arrogance, in arrogant confidence that they were going to destroy your people. but all you did was blow with the breath of your mouth, and the waters of the sea covered them, and they sank like rocks to the bottom of the waters. And I was thinking about that this past week. An earthquake in Italy, floods in Louisiana, floods in Kansas City. All over the world, elements of nature disrupting the plans and the visions of mankind. All it takes for God is to unleash the forces of nature, and it brings us to a grinding halt. So I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you really convinced, deep in your heart and deep in your mind, deep in your soul, that God has included you in his plan of redemption? And the reason I ask it is for this reason, that I hear every once in a while someone say, you know, something has taken place in my life, and I'm just convinced that I'm now outside of God's sovereign providence and mercy. I just don't think that God is ever going to be able to bring me back into his fold, bring me back into his embrace. That's almost as if saying, God, what I did surprised you. What I did was something that you were unprepared for. There's nothing you can do about this. But listen to the prayer of the disciples again. The one that you anointed, how they conspired against you. Even Pilate and Herod, they could only do what you had already foreordained that they could do. That there is nothing that has ever happened in all creation that caught God unprepared, that took God by surprise. Not only that, God is not only the Lord of creation, not only the Lord of history, but also the Lord of your redemption. How they pray, how they continue the prayer, the one that you anointed, the one that your holy servant Jesus, how Pilate and Herod could only do what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen, that my assurance and your assurance of salvation rests upon the knowledge and rests upon the fact that God, from beginning to end, has taken care of everything that is necessary for our salvation. In my mind, I can often imagine Jesus standing before Pilate. And now Pilate asks this Son of God, this Son of Man, this Jesus of Nazareth, asks him question after question, and Jesus stands there silent. And in his frustration, Pilate asks Jesus, do you not know who I am? Do you not know that I have the power to free you or condemn you to death? Do you not know that I have that power over your life? And Jesus says to Pilate, you only have that power, you only have the power that my God has given to you. You only have the power that my Father in heaven has provided for you in this situation. In other words, every element, every aspect of our salvation is under the control of God, and nothing is allowed to thwart or to push aside or to frustrate God's intention and God's plan of our salvation. Now the question, why is all of that necessary? And how do you come to God in prayer in your own life? How we enlarge our prayer. How we lift our prayer to God who is sovereign over all of creation. How we lift our prayer to the God who is sovereign in all of history. How we lift our prayer to the God who is sovereign in his redemption. Now in Acts chapter 4 again, in verse 29, Lord, you are the Lord of creation. You are the Lord of history. You are the Lord of redemption. And Lord, we need to remind ourselves of who you are and what you do. Because right now, Lord, we are facing the fires of persecution. We are facing opposition. We are confronted with something that threatens our very life. We are facing a mountain. We are facing waters that need to be parted. We are lifting our prayers to you, and it seems as if the doors of heaven are closed. Now, Lord, come. And I just wonder, in the prayers in your life, how often do you begin your prayer? Oh Lord, you made the heavens, you made the earth, you made the waters and everything in them. How often do you add to your prayers? And Lord, from the very beginning of time, from generation to generation, you have been unfailing in your love through all of history. And often do you include in your prayer reference to the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And then lift your prayer to God. Now, Lord, you are the God who is sovereign over all. But Lord, this is my moment. This is where I am. I need you. I desire that you come, that you see what's going on in my life, that you understand what confronts me, that I know that you see and that you hear and that you love me. And I just love the way that the little story concludes. For if you will, they were almost literally shaking in fear as the fires of persecution confronted them. And they lift a prayer to God, reminding themselves of who God is and what God does. And then in Acts chapter 4, we are told, and the Holy Spirit came. And the place where they were meeting, the place where they were praying, the place where they were, the place was shaken by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I just wanted to use this passage this morning to encourage you as a congregation, to encourage you as a body of Christ, that as you pray together now, together with Pastor Mark and Kara, that the Holy Spirit is poured out upon you. That whatever concerns you have as a congregation, whatever concerns you have as a people, whatever concerns you have as a family, or whatever concerns you have individually as a son, as a daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you lift your prayers to God who is sovereign in all his ways, to the Lord of creation, to the Lord of history, to the Lord of redemption, even to the Lord of the present moment and of the present day. Would you bow in prayer? Father in heaven, we know that prayer is not useless because you are sovereign in your power and you are able to do all things. And we know that prayer is not unnecessary because you love us with the love of Jesus Christ and you call us into mission. You call us to be your servants. You call us to be your messengers to a world that is so broken and in desperate need of knowing the love that you have for them. So, Lord, prayer is not only not useless and not unnecessary, but by the very fact that you are sovereign in all your ways, it even makes prayer possible. For we can call out to you, Lord, now in this present moment, lead and guide us and fill us with the Holy Spirit, that we can move forward, that we can move forward with the mission as you call and lead and guide us, as we proclaim Jesus Christ, His love, His mercy, and His grace. Father, bless this congregation and bless the ministry of Pastor Mark. And by your grace, Lord, we lift our prayers to you for the needs of this congregation, for those that are included in the bulletin, those with medical needs, Lord, provide your renewing healing, your renewal and healing. For those who face difficult circumstances in life, come close to them and encourage them. For those who have questions of faith, Lord, by the truth of Jesus Christ, whisper your word so powerfully that it may remove any doubt and lift any discouragement, so that by your grace and by your mercy, we may know again and see the evidence of your great love. So, Father, pour out your Holy Spirit upon this congregation and fill them full to the fullest measure of the fullness of God, that we may see how deep and how high, how wide and how long is the love of Jesus Christ our Lord. In His name we pray. Amen. As we prepare to come to the table of the Lord, just invite you to follow along with the liturgy, the litany on the screens. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. With joy we praise you, gracious God, for you have created heaven and earth. You have made us in your image, and you kept covenant with us even when we fell into sin. We give you thanks for Jesus Christ our Lord, who by his life and death and resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore we join our voices with all the saints and angels and the whole creation to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Heaven and earth are full of his glory. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We give thanks to God the Father that our Savior Jesus Christ, before he suffered, gave us this memorial of his sacrifice until he comes again. At the Last Supper, the Lord took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat the bread and drink the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, we proclaim our faith as signed and sealed in this sacrament." Christ has died. Christ. Lord our God, send your Holy Spirit so that this bread and cup may be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we and all your saints be united with Christ and remain faithful in hope and love. Gather your whole church, O Lord, into the glory of your kingdom, as we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray as we pray together, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." is invite the elders to come forward. As we sing together, let us break bread together.
Let us break bread together.
With you, Greg. The Lord be with you. Lord be with you, Mark. Lord be with you, Rod. In this awe-filled moment, people of God, take, remember, and believe that all your sins have been cleansed by the shed blood, the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. And we remember the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of peace around the table of the King. Body of our Savior Jesus Christ, torn for you. Eat and remember the wounds that heal, the death that brings us life, pay the price to make us one. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of love around the table of the King. The blood that cleanses every stain of sin shed for you. Drink and remember, he drained death's cup that all may enter in to receive the life of God. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of grace around the table of the King. And so with thankfulness and faith we rise to and to remember our call to follow in the steps of Christ as his body here on earth. As we share in his suffering, we proclaim Christ will come again and will join in the around the table of the King.
As you reflect upon the amazing, astonishing love of Christ, that he would take someone such as you and myself, dead in sin, bound in the power of sin and death, that by the outpouring of his Holy Spirit, he would give you a new heart and a new mind and a new life. And as you reflect upon the amazing love of Christ, take, drink, remember and believe that all our sins have been cleansed and forgiven by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. the psalmist. The psalmist in Psalm 103 is a psalm that is often remembered and reflected upon following communion. And I just want to hold the verse of the thing is so amazing. It comes out of the very depths of his heart and mind. Oh, my soul, bless the Lord. And all within me, bless his holy name. Oh, my soul, bless the Lord, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Oh, my soul, bless the Lord. As we proclaim, as we share in his suffering, we proclaim Christ will come again and will join in the feast of heaven around the table of the King. Would you bow in prayer with me? Father, in this moment in which we have received the bread and the cup, we thank you, O Lord Jesus Christ, that you affirm that your very presence lives within us and that we are made new by your shed blood. Father, we rejoice and we lift our hearts in gladness to you. Faithful Father, Holy Jesus, ever-abiding Spirit, in his name we pray, amen. I should invite you, in response to God, to present your offerings to the Lord Jesus Christ. Any announcements? I think, Gary, you have some announcements.
Just wanted to say a big thank you to everyone who participated in the shelter dinner last week. It was a great turnout, and want to thank you all for reaching into your pocketbooks as well as your hearts, as well as your time. And we had a great meal. We fed about 200 people down at the shelter, and I don't think we've ever served any as many second sandwiches as we did that night. Roberta, did we serve 250 or 275 sandwiches in total that night, plus the dinners that went out? So thank you. Your next opportunity, by the way, will come on December 22nd, and we'll do a meal for them as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve. I can think of no better way to underscore the blessings God's given this congregation than by having our previous pastor introduce our now current pastor on the day that we partake of communion. So I just think that's very special. And we're going to celebrate that. We have some cake welcoming Pastor Mark and his family to our church. So please hang around after church, grab a piece of cake, introduce or reintroduce yourself to Pastor Mark and Kara, and get to know them a little bit better. At the same time, we have one little piece of unfinished business, and that is we get to end the search committee's search, thankfully. And I would just like to take a moment and thank them. And I would like them to stand when I read their name. The people on the search committee are Fran DeVries, B. Roskam, Abby Hoekstra, Carla Kingma, Rodell Nidem, Nate Miedema, Tim Mormon, and Brad Veenstra. And once again, please give them a round of applause. They were very diligent in their search. They had the blessing and opportunity to listen to about 20 years worth of sermons in the last year and a half. And they took their duties very, very seriously, and God led them to Pastor Mark, and we're very thankful for that. So I know Brad Veenstra is not here, but if you get a chance, maybe drop him a note.
Brad Veenstra is right there.
Oh, Brad is here. His schedule must have changed since Thursday. So drop them all a note or a card of thanks for the work they've done and for all the work that they've, the hard work they've gone through to bring us to this point.
Thank you, Gary. Oh, one more.
Just a quick reminder that Saturday, September 17th, we have the Wildwood Ranch service day. There's a sign-up sheet in back, and they'd like you to sign up as quick as you can because they're planning meals for that day. So thanks.
Just very quickly, just want to focus your mind again on how you pray to a sovereign God. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, God has given Jeremiah an instruction. Jeremiah, go buy a field. And Jeremiah doesn't really understand why it is that God wants him to buy a field, because on the very next day, the whole city of Jerusalem and the entire land is going to be taken over by the enemy. And Jeremiah says to God, God, this really seems to be quite irrational. But I want you to read his prayer in Jeremiah 31 when you get home. O sovereign Lord, you created the heavens, you created the earth, and I know that you are the one in history who freed your people from the land of Egypt, from the bonds of slavery. I know that you did all of this. But Lord, why do you want me to buy a field when tomorrow it's going to be taken over by the enemy? And God simply says to Jeremiah, trust me. And sometimes the most practical thing, as Eugene Peterson says, that we can do in our walk with God is simply to obey. O sovereign Lord, give me the courage, give me the humility to walk with you faithfully. Would you stand and receive God's parting blessing? Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's go and serve the Lord. Thank you.
one day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. And the hill nation stretched out on a tree and took the nails from me. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose, over death he had conquered. Now is ascended, my Lord, evermore. Death could not hold him, the grave could not keep him from rising again. Loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified.